Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
This might be it for a while.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Investors got what they wanted, a quarter-point cut in interest rates from the Federal Reserve. But the Fed also suggested there might not be another one coming anytime soon. The Fed governor said the threat of inflation and recession are about equal. Before, recession had been seen as the bigger concern. The Fed has one more meeting this year. By the way, commercial banks responded to the rate cut by lowering their prime lending rate for certain credit cards and home equity lines. Investors responded here and overseas. In Asia, stocks set records today, adding almost 1%. European shares started out higher but have retreated thanks to some sour bank profits. Yesterday, the Dow gained 138 points to 13,930. The Nasdaq was up 42 to 2859, and the S&P 500 added 18 to 1549. The mother of all tax reform bills may be off the table for now, but its daughter is due to be born this morning. Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel is unveiling a one-year patch for the alternative minimum tax, or AMT. He says it would save millions of Americans from a tax hike next year. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
In the past, when Congress has put the cork in the AMT bottle, they've simply added to the deficit. But when Democrats came to power last year, they made a promise to pay as they go. So the question on Capitol Hill is, will the AMT patch keep the Dems from keeping the pay-go promise?
It's more likely that they will end up waiving pay-go and work out something with the president that he's willing to sign.
Ken Keyes is a lobbyist with the Federal Policy Group. He says the Senate is unlikely to accept some of the tax increases Rangel probably has in mind to offset the cuts. But Aviva Arendine with the Center on Budget Policy and Priorities says, pay-go or not, an AMT patch is almost certain.
It's extremely unlikely that the AMT would simply be allowed to grow this year. That should not be a concern that's keeping taxpayers up at night.
Without a fix soon, Rangel says 23 million taxpayers would face increases next year. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
At midnight, the contract for Hollywood writers expired. The Writers Guild meets today to decide whether to strike or keep working without a contract. The studios say if there is a strike, they'll just live off of less scripted TV, like reality and game shows. Writers Guild President Patrick Verone says that's not going to work.
A property like Lost or Grey's Anatomy, or go back to Seinfeld or The Simpsons, these are shows that literally pay dividends far into the future. I don't think that's the case for reality programs and game shows and things that just have a real high value when they initially air and then aren't as interesting later on.
The major issues here, Hollywood writers want a bigger cut on DVD sales and internet downloads.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Medtronic.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Oil is trading at $96 a barrel this morning. Got me wondering what's happening to the price of ethanol, the corn-based biofuel. The government is forcing refineries to mix ethanol with their gasoline to reduce our dependence on oil. It's a controversial policy for a number of reasons. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. Chris, first of all, what is the price of ethanol doing?
Well, the price of ethanol has been climbing. It's around $1.79, $1.80 a gallon. And just to put that in context, ethanol is trading about 54 cents below gasoline. So when distributors mix gasoline and ethanol, they're going to make a profit of around a little over a buck a gallon, increasing incentive for distributors to do a little blending, a little mixing in order to fatten their profit margins.
Well, there is a government mandate. That's one incentive to do that.
That's a big incentive.
But I would imagine that now that the price of oil has gotten to where it is, that there's a price incentive as well.
Well, there is a price incentive, and there's no doubt about that. And by the way, none of this changes the fact that our ethanol policy is, simply put, nuts.
All right, let's hear it. Why is our ethanol policy a bad idea?
Oh, there's so many reasons. First of all, you know, let's just use a cliche. But, you know, sometimes cliches, there's a little bit of truth in them. The government should not be picking winners. We have the price of oil getting close to $100 a barrel. It's an enormous incentive for technology mavens in Silicon Valley, for all kinds of people around the world to come up with alternative energy, alternative fuels. But what is the government doing? It's saying, hey, we think corn-based ethanol is the way to go. So what we're going to do is give a $7 to $8 billion subsidy a year. And by the way, now there is this cheap ethanol. Now it's from Brazil. Okay, so we're going to put high tariffs up and prevent Brazil and other foreign producers from competing with our farmers and producers.
All right, that's a fair argument. I can buy your argument here. But just to play devil's advocate, ethanol seems to be a viable alternative. So why can't we do this for the time being until we come up with something better?
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, right now, the fact that we have ethanol and we can blend it into gasoline does give us a little bit of relief on the price front. There's absolutely no question. But it's a fairly expensive relief on the price front if you start adding in the subsidies. Is why we're seeing higher prices of food. Food probably will grow in real terms in the United States this year by about 5%, which actually is a pretty big increase for food prices in the United States. And a major impetus behind that is corn and ethanol.
Yeah, that's a true catch-22 right there.
Exactly.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.